This episode contains adult themes and is not appropriate for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, the world. This is They Will Kill, a true crime podcast. I'm Sadie Eck.
And I am Courtney Eck.
And it's nice to be back after the holiday weekend.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I love everything about the holiday. I actually don't like Thanksgiving at all.
No, I don't either.
But I loved this Thanksgiving. We had a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so good. And I'm thankful for you guys being here to listen to us today.
You know what I'm not thankful for?
Murder.
Yep.
Yeah.
Especially this one. This case is a doozer. This is the disappearance and death of Rachel Timmerman. Mm. And before I get started, I want to give a little trigger warning for rape. I also want to say that, unfortunately, this is one of those stories that there's a lot available about the killer and not very much at all. And by not very much, I mean one sentence basically available about Rachel and the other victims in this story. So I apologize for that. I hate when that's the case. Mm-hmm. But here we are. It's a fascinating case, so I'm doing it anyway. So Marvin Gabrion was born in Grand Rapids, Michigan in 1953 and was the fifth out of six children. His sisters said he was a lovely, shy child and was, quote, happy all the time and seemed to get along with everybody. He was well-liked by his teachers and peers, was well-behaved and involved in lots of sports, was smart but not the best student, and was generally just a good kid. One of his brothers even described him as a nerd. Marvin's father was a pretty terrible dude, however. He was often drunk, very abusive, even hitting Martin's head against a 2x4 several times as a punishment for burning some trash near their house.
Oh my God.
Yeah, calm down. When Marvin was young, he became very ill with pneumonia, and his father refused to take him to the hospital until it was so bad that they had to do surgery to, quote, remove a, quote, leather-like material from his lungs.
Oh, no.
That's not a good thing to have in your lungs.
No. Amazing he lived.
I know. Marvin's mother wasn't much better, as she was often gone from the house and even left for a few months at one point and brought one of Marvin's brothers with her. At another point, she suffered a nervous breakdown and her children were taken away, and once the sisters were left to take care of Marvin by themselves, and he became so sick with such a high fever that he, quote, became delirious and walked outside into the snow. His siblings found him lying in a snowbank.
I mean, yeah. It feels like, I don't know where we're headed, but just a good way to fuck somebody up.
Yeah, we get like multiple fevers as a child. Yeah. That's not a good start to begin.
Abused,
boil your brain
neglected.
A few times.
Yeah.
Marvin's parents had affairs and fought with each other to the point of getting physical, even knocking each other's front teeth out.
Oh my God.
To give you an example.
Yeah.
They would also bring the kids to siphon gas from other people's cars, and two of the brothers spent time in jail. It wasn't a happy home, to say the least. So fast forward to August 7th, 1996, and Marvin, who was 43 at the time, his nephew, Mikey Gabrion, and their friend, Wayne Davis, picked up 18-year-old single mother named Rachel Timmerman on their way to attend a party together in Cedar Springs, Michigan. Marvin was driving the car and suddenly pulled off into a field and ordered the other two men out of the car. He then proceeded to beat and then rape Rachel three times. He then dropped Rachel off at home, but not before warning her that if she told the police, he would kill her baby daughter, Shannon. Rachel's sister was home when she got there, and she told her that Marvin had raped her and bit her on the nose, and initially said she was too scared to tell authorities, but then changed her mind after her friends and family encouraged her to report the attack. Police looked into Marvin and arrested him on January 20th, 1997, but he was released on bail 2 weeks later. I don't know why it took 5 months to arrest him, but here we are.
Right.
Like,
no.
I'm assuming they were waiting for him to get in trouble for something else. I don't know. I couldn't find any information about why she would report the rape and then it would take 5 months to pick him up. But whatever, it was the fucking 90s.
Well, yeah, I think that would probably happen.
Now? Yeah. Yeah. Definitely in the 90s in the northern Midwest.
Yep.
Definitely. Also in the 5 months since the attack, Rachel had worked hard to move on from the horrible night and had been focusing on her daughter and their future, but was understandably traumatized by the attack and had an especially hard time trusting people.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah, no doubt.
As Marvin's trial drew closer, she started to get extremely anxious about testifying and began having nightmares. She confided to her father, Tim, that she was afraid that Marvin was going to kill her for turning him in. Quote, she also called the sheriff's office on two different occasions to report that she had seen Gabriel and that she wanted to leave a, quote, trail in case he followed through on his threat to kill her.
No.
Yeah. So on June 3rd, 1997, 2 days before Marvin's trial was scheduled, Rachel told her parents she had a date with a man named John Weeks and that he'd encouraged her to bring Shannon with them on the date.
Oh, no.
They were meeting for dinner, and she told her parents she'd be home in a couple of hours, but she never returned.
No, did she take the baby?
She took the baby.
Oh, no.
Yes. The next day, her father, Tim, received a letter from Rachel that said she was going on vacation and bringing Shannon with her, which he thought was very odd since she just started a new job and was scheduled to testify against Marvin the next day.
No. I don't like it.
The trial went through as scheduled on June 5th, but when Rachel didn't show to give her testimony, the charges against Marvin were dropped and he was a free fucking man.
Motherfucker.
So get this.
No.
On June 16th, the prosecutor who was trying the case also received a letter from Rachel that said she was the one who had actually tried to seduce Marvin, and when he refused to have sex with her, she made up the rape allegation.
Oh my God.
Dear Mr. Prosecutor, I just want to let you know, yes, I swear to God. Yep. Investigators weren't able to gather any clues from the letter except that it was postmarked Little Rock, Arkansas, which was 800 miles from Cedar Springs. Tim, Rachel's father, also received a letter from Rachel on June 16th, and his letter said that she and Shannon were fine and that she would call him soon.
Do we know if they were, like, worried at this point?
Yes, they were very worried.
So they were, like, understood that this was not good.
Correct. Nobody believed it, including the prosecutor. He was like, oh, hell no.
Okay. Did they? Yeah. Did the dad believe the first letter?
I think he was a little bit like, huh? But also, yeah. Fuck that. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yes. Good. I just was like, please tell me that they're not like, okay, she's fine.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
Then on July 5th, 1997, two men were fishing in Oxford Lake and found the body of a young woman, which was later identified as Rachel. Mm. Her mouth and eyes had been duct taped, and she had been handcuffed, and she was chained to a cinder block. Oh. An autopsy would reveal that she had been alive when she was thrown into the lake. No. You sadistic fucking piece of shit. The lake was searched to see if Shannon was also disposed of, but there was no trace of the baby, and she hasn't been seen since she left with her mother the night they both disappeared.
Still to this day. Oh, no.
No sign of baby Shannon. Yep.
Why the baby?
We'll get to that.
Oh.
She is presumed dead at this point, of course.
Right.
Authorities assumed that Rachel had been forced to write the letters before she was murdered, and of course, all signs pointed to Marvin being the culprit. Unfortunately, Marvin was nowhere to be found.
Of course not.
Yep. Police searched his home and found keys that matched the padlock that had been used to chain Rachel to the cinder block and other cinder blocks that had similar color paint on them, like the one that had been used to drown Rachel. Marvin's nephew, Mikey, informed police that he frequented a campground in the area, and when they searched it, quote, Gabriel's tent was found there, along with bolt cutters, chain, duct tape, a woman's hair clip, and nipples for a baby's bottle.
Jeez.
Witnesses also came forward to say that they'd seen Marvin and Rachel near Oxford Lake around the time of the murder and were able to describe his distinctive truck. And I'm like, you had enough foresight to have her write letters to cover your tracks, but then you just left all the fucking evidence all over your campsite in your house.
When you couldn't go to a different campsite that you didn't frequent all the time?
Right.
But like also the police didn't immediately, when she didn't show up for court, go to Marvin and be like, or to his family and be like, where does he hang out? And they're like, oh, at the campsite. And then they drive there and they rescue her and her baby.
Yeah.
Because she probably was still alive.
Yeah, she's definitely still alive. Because she was writing letters.
Yeah.
Yep.
You do a little digging. Somebody. Mm. For not fuck's sake.
Not in the northern Midwest in the 90s. I hate to break it to you. Yep. Yep. So they searched for Marvin for 2 months with no luck, and then finally learned that Marvin was cashing the Social Security checks of a transient man in Sherman, New York, and were able to apprehend him based on this tip. He was arrested and charged with Rachel's murder.
Did he kill the other guy too?
Oh, we'll get to that, Sadie. Okay. We'll get to that. God. This does not end with Rachel. The trial for Rachel's murder began in 2002 and included multiple witnesses for the prosecution who described what a violent and dangerous man Marvin was. On the stand, he was accused of other sexual and physical assaults, as well as, quote, two witnesses testified that their homes had been set on fire following altercations with Gabrion.
Oh, man.
Another woman described how Gabrion trained a rifle on her and her 2-year-old child as she walked to her car one day.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. He then climbed into his car and followed them for several miles.
Just like a random...
I'm assuming she pissed him off. Who knows?
I mean, not like it's ever okay for any reason to do that to somebody, but like... What is happening?
Well, she said he had a bad shoes. And you're like, oh, well, she had that coming. Yes, she had it coming.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Even if she punched him in the fucking head.
Seriously.
Shake it off and go to the police and report her if that's what you want to do. You don't put a gun on her and then stalk her.
Wow.
Yep. Another man said that he had, quote, once interrupted a card game Marvin was involved in to retrieve some heart medication for his uncle. Marvin responded by beating the man, punching his wife in the face, and punching his teenage son for the interruption.
Oh, my God.
It's like, oh, excuse me, gentlemen, can I please have Uncle Pete? Fuck you! Give me your wife! Boosh! This guy sucks. He's insane.
Clearly.
The next paragraph is one big quote. I just couldn't paraphrase it. Quote, the trial was also noted for the judge's decision to deny the defendant's rights to fire his counsel and defend himself in court due to Gabrion's erratic behavior and frequent disruption of court proceedings. He punched his defense attorney in the face in full view of the jury.
No, he didn't.
Yep. And he committed 40 major infractions while at the Calhoun County Jail. Gabrion filed numerous bizarre motions using, quote, abusive and obscene language. He accused the judge of sleeping with and impregnating 13 and 14-year-old girls and called his lawyer and the judge, quote, satanic and, quote, Hitler.
Wow. He's during, like a wild animal.
He's totally a wild animal. I mean, this guy legitimately gives no fucks, more so than just about anybody.
Yeah.
Even, you know, like the worst of the worst serial killers, because he just is a wild fucking cannon, and we'll get into that more in just a minute. During his appeal, the appellate court affirmed that the district court had every reason to deny Gabrion's right to represent himself, noting that his erratic and disruptive behavior would certainly have continued if he were given the opportunity.
Seriously.
I mean, if I could pretend for one moment that trial wasn't like the most fucking traumatic and awful thing that a victim's family has to go through, and it was just like a funny thing that happens, which it's not at all, I would love to see him. Like, if we could set up a mock trial.
SNL skit or something.
Yes. And then let him do that. I would love to, selfishly love to see it, but I'm so fucking glad they didn't let that happen, because Jesus God, this guy does not deserve that platform.
No. But I get, I mean, like, in some ways, maybe it was, well, not good, but for the, her family to see him be so terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, that wouldn't be good. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like,
well, I think it's so good because then they're like, no question. There is no question that this guy did it. This guy is the absolute worst. It's like in movies where the prosecutor like razzes the defendant until he snaps and yells at the tit. Yeah.
It's like this guy's just willing to do it.
The defense attorney's like, where were you on this night? Punch you in the face.
God.
Yep. So the defense claimed that he had brain damage from multiple car accidents and had a bad childhood.
Yeah.
The end.
Yeah.
That's his defense. Bing, bing, bing. Great
leather
job.
Lung. Yeah.
Yeah. So they didn't even try to fight it as far as I could tell. They were just like,
well, no, they're getting punched. They're like too busy dodging the punches. They can't defend him. They're defending themselves from him.
Like, we what are you going to
do
up.
With that? Yeah. Like, please, Lord, get me out of here. I have to do this legally, but please make it stop.
He's not a violent man. Punch!
Oh, God. Yeah.
And if Marvin wasn't already shitty enough, he claimed that Rachel had offered to give him oral sex on the way home from the party, so he pulled over and made his friend and nephew get out of the car. He said after she performed oral sex, Rachel apparently put some of his semen on her vagina.
Oh.
That's a thing that mm-hmm. commonly happens. Mm-hmm. Then as they tried to pull out of the field he'd parked in, the car got stuck, and Rachel hurt herself while trying to help push it out. He then brought her to her trailer where she started screaming because she realized she was hurt.
Oh. Yeah, that's fucking asshole.
Yep. In the end, Marvin was found guilty, and interestingly, Michigan abolished the death penalty in the 1800s, but Rachel was murdered on federal land, so the judge had the option to sentence him to death, which he did.
Wow.
They were like, I hate you so much, I'm going to find a fucking loophole to kill you at the end of all of this.
Yeah.
So you might think that that's where the story ends. I mean, you don't, because I've already told you that that's not where the story ends. But it's not where the story ends. Rachel wasn't the only potential victim of Marvin's wrath over his own decision to rape and beat a teenage single mother.
No.
The first person who disappeared who had something to do with this case was Wayne Davis. Davis was one of the men who'd been in the car the night Rachel was attacked, and he had agreed to testify against Marvin in trial.
God, isn't that funny? Because I was like, well, where are the guys in the car? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they should be able to testify for the rape case. There we are. That's where they go.
Well, and there are so many other things in this case that I just left out as evidence, because it's like somebody was like, yeah, he came to me and said he wanted to buy a car that could get to Arkansas, you know, like it was so clear that this guy did it.
You don't need more evidence. Yes.
Yeah. It just gets redundant and exhausting. So he went missing a few days after Marvin was released on bail, and when a friend went to his house, he found a note on the front door that said he'd fled to California because he was afraid of going to jail on a DUI charge that he'd gotten. Davis had left behind his favorite army jacket that he never went anywhere without, and his savings account remained untouched after his disappearance. Davis's house was searched and found mostly untouched, with the exception of a stolen stereo system, which Marvin was later caught trying to pawn.
Oh, Lord.
Davis's body was found in Twinwood Lake, which is on the same federal land that Rachel's body was found on in 2002.
Wow.
Marvin was not charged with his murder, but the disappearance was used against him at trial.
Well, charge him.
I don't know why they haven't. I don't know if they... I'm surprised they used it at trial, but they did.
Like, how... And, yeah, if they're not willing to charge him with it, they shouldn't be able to use it in another trial.
Maybe they were just like... And they used another... the next one, they used his disappearance at trial, too. So maybe they were like, and this guy, all of his friends seem to disappear, so that's weird, you know?
Right.
So Marvin had a handyman named John Weeks, who also went missing around the time of Rachel's disappearance. Weeks' girlfriend said that she knew Marvin as Lance, and the last she knew, Weeks, was leaving town with Lance, and she hadn't heard from him since.
Why? Why is he killing Weeks?
So she also said that she had caught Weeks on a phone call with a girl named Rachel. And Weeks claimed he had only called her because Marvin wanted a date with her.
Oh, shit.
Authorities later determined that Weeks was the man that had picked up Rachel for the date on the night that she went missing.
Oh, man.
Yep. Yep. This guy gave zero fucks. He's God. Like, I'm going to use you to get there, and then I'm going to disappear you too. You. Yes.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yep. So again, like, he was the other one that they used at trial. He was not charged for the murder, right. But they did bring it up at trial.
Hey, man, this is a lesson. Don't do favors for people. Lesson number one.
Never. Never. Don't do it. I know.
Do your best. See what happens.
Do your best, but also don't ever help people. So when Marvin disappeared after Rachel's body was found, he was living in a home owned by a transient man, which my sister, ding, 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 picked up on, named Robert Allen. He went missing in 1995, and wouldn't you know, Marvin had been cashing the Social Security checks and living in the home of a man named Robert Allen when he was caught in 1997. I don't know how they knew each other, or, like, if he was driving to New York to get his checks from 1995 to 1997, but right. I do know that in 1997, he was cashing those checks and living in his house.
Crazy.
Yeah. So to this day, Baby Shannon, John Weeks, and Robert Allen are all missing and presumed dead. Ugh. Marvin has allegedly bragged to other inmates in prison that he had buried other bodies and went so far as to draw a map of Oxford Lake and wrote, quote, body of 3, 1 on it. He also allegedly admitted to an inmate that he'd killed Shannon and said that he, quote, killed the baby because there was nowhere else to put it. I know. Leave the fucking baby out of it.
He wanted that. He wanted to kill that baby. Yeah.
Yes, he did. Yep.
There's no other way around it.
And I'm sure. It's just
so fucking awful.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, the psychological torture of having the baby.
Oh, yeah. No, there's absolutely nothing more horrifying than
the most sadistic possible torture. Yep.
Yep. Yep. I mean, no, I'm not going to speculate, but that's fucking awful.
Yep. Yep. So Marvin appealed his sentence in 2006, but it was upheld, and the federal government resumed executions after a 17-year hiatus in 2020. Marvin Gabrion remains on death row in federal prison in Terre Haute, Indiana, ugh, to this day.
God. I'm going to go find him and hurt him.
I did see an article that was like, he's the only guy on death row in Michigan still. And they were like, are they going to kill him? Probably don't know. Check this site. And I checked it and it still says death sentence.
Well, I mean, it's kind of amazing that when Trump had his fucking
death spree
at the end, that Marvin wasn't part of it.
Totally. It's because Marvin's one of his people. He's not right. Black. He's some white rapist, you know?
Yeah, he's like, no, I'm surprised he didn't fucking pardon him.
Oh my God, you're so right. I just have the same... Ugh.
Anyway.
So I'll end with a little sweet note. I found the sweetest, like, human interest article from a local, like, tiny paper. So Rachel's parents decided to become foster parents a year after her death as a way to cope with their pain and fostered around a dozen kids and babies over the years.
Oh, my God.
Quote, it was pretty cool, Tim Timmerman told the Grand Rapids Press. He credits his wife with spending the most time with the foster children. Quote, they liked us. I don't know why. It was the coolest time, he said.
Oh, God.
I know. When talking about losing Rachel, he said, quote, the best way I can explain it is it was very painful and very traumatic. I loved her. She would want us to be happy. Quote, I mean, it's sad. We all like to see our kids reach their full potential. It could have been anybody's kid. Acceptance is by far the most helpful thing. He also visits the lake where they found Rachel's body and said, quote, I do not associate it with my daughter's last moments on earth. It's gorgeous in the middle of nowhere.
Oh.
And that is the story of the disappearance and death of Rachel Timmerman and Baby Shannon and Weeks and Robert Allen and Wayne Davis. And the piece of shit monster fuck no fucks giver. Fuck you.
Fuck. That's just so sad.
I know.
What the heck? It's such a buddy
blitzkrieg. You're just like, I'm just gonna kill and do, I'm gonna just do every horrible thing to everybody all the time.
I want to know more. Like,
I know.
You know?
I know. That's why I was so surprised that there isn't more information. Even with the Unsolved Mysteries case, which is where I think a lot of the articles I read got their information.
Right.
How do we not know more about this case? How did they not?
Court documents.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, we need to know more. I need to know more about him. I need to know more about her.
Yep.
Where the heck is the baby?
Yep.
You know, her parents. She was 18, right?
She was 18 years old.
Tiny baby. Her parents were young. Like, no.
I know.
She gets to come back.
Yep.
The baby gets to always be here.
Yep. And all these poor dudes that were just trying to help out their bro.
What the fuck? Just driving in a car.
Yeah, going to a party. Like, you're just going to a party, and the next thing you know, da-da-da-da, trauma and murder.
Oh, yeah. I just can't do it.
Yeah. Just the thought that these people just terrorize these towns for years, you know, set their houses on fire and,
yes,
you know, do all these crazy things.
Yep.
And then kill a bunch of people. You know, it's like, how?
Yeah.
Like, meanwhile, people are in jail for marijuana. Let's slow down and just go through it all one at a time.
Like, seriously. Like,
you know?
Yep. No, the whole time you're telling the story, I was thinking about how here in the town I live in, one of Ryan's old co-workers just was arrested for raping a she was 12 at the time, for two years, molestation. I don't know if it was rape, child abuse. And reading the newspaper article about this guy, and that his bail was $1,200.
What? Are you fucking kidding me?
He choked her. He threatened her.
Oh, my God.
And so he's now out on bail. And that, you know, Ryan and I were just talking about it. Like, what are we doing here? The guy is known for his, like, gun collection.
Oh, my God.
$1,200 for molesting a 12-year-old for 2 years. Fuck. And then choking her and threatening her if she told anybody.
It's insane. That's like, what judge would be like, yeah, that seems $600 a year for what?
Well, I think it's like, what, like 10% or something? $120? He's out.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yep. And so if she dies, if he hurts his family, if he kills himself, like, all of that is on the judge. 100%. Like, you don't do that. There are certain people that you, like, you need to protect that victim first.
Yep. Yep.
She is now in danger.
Yes.
And I'm sure has no means to get, I mean, she's a child. Ugh. Yep. God. Anyway. Yep.
To know he's out. Just, no, it's awful.
It's awful.
They also watched Love Fraud on Showtime, which is a great documentary series, like 4-part documentary series about a love con artist.
Uh-huh.
And he had like 10 wives and, you know, conned dozens of other women. Dozens. And he just stayed in the same fucking place. I was like, well, sure.
In the same town?
Yes. And like went as far as like Knoxville, Tennessee or something from.
Wow.
Yeah. But he was in the same town, like a city. I can't remember which city, but, you know, Tennessee city. Just conning every fucking lady.
And the lines never crossed.
Well, they started a blog, but he was out conning these women and they all found each other and they had to get like this female bounty hunter. It's great. It's worth watching. But I'm like, he was stealing identities, you know, all this stuff. And they were just like, you can't do anything about it.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was less about money and more about just fucking with them, you know? So,
God, but still wrong with people.
Yeah. Yep. And he got, I won't ruin the end, but his punishment is not sufficient. Commiserate. No!
Yeah.
No.
What was the name of it again?
Love Fraud.
On Showtime.
Showtime has some great documentaries right now. We signed up for it for, I don't know why, The Tekashi 6ix9ine documentary is fascinating. Okay. Highly recommend that. The Reagan documentary is great if you want to.
Oh, I watched that one.
Be mad.
Yeah, I signed up for Showtime for something too, and I don't know, but I never cancel. I never remember to cancel.
Ooh, so you can get in there.
So yeah, I think so, unless I did cancel it and I don't remember, which is entirely possible also.
We just have a couple little bitty names. Everybody fell asleep. I told you not to. You all fell asleep from your turkey. Mm-hmm. But those of you who listened to me came up with some gems. So I will reward you by reading them now. Ahem. Dr. Holeman. I'm sure you pronounce it just like that.
Holeman.
Holeman. Dr. Holeman. There is an Embarrass, Minnesota.
Ooh.
And our listener like saw it and like screen capped it real quick for us.
Yeah, like got a call, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's right. It was a call. Yes. Embarrass, Minnesota. Good thinking on your feet.
That's right.
And last but not least, there's a dentist in Canoga Park, California named Dr. Shiv Shankar. What? What? That's how you know there is a God. God is real because Dr. Shiv Shankar is real. It's proof. Conclusive proof. I don't need your science. I don't need your Shroud of Turin. I just need Dr. Shiv Shankar to exist.
Seriously.
And that person does exist. So
that's all you need.
Thank you for the names, darlings.
Yes. Hey, we're thinking about doing a Patreon party coming up.
Yep.
New year, maybe early new year.
Yeah. Like mid January, I have to go to Florida early January. And then I'm thinking when I get home from that.
Yeah. So mid January, think about it. Are you a patron yet? No. Some of you, yes. Others, no. So sign up.
And then come 50-50 chance that you are or are not a Patreon supporter.
So we can hang out together.
Yep.
Do some tarot cards.
I will be pulling tarot cards. Yep. We can chat. We can also just have another fun party, which was an absolute fucking blast last time.
So but fun.
I will also intermittently pull tarot cards for those who want them.
Yeah. So something to put on your calendar.
Yep. I was thinking we should maybe do two parties. We could do a evening party and a morning party.
Yes. To hit up our
time zones.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Or give people options. Right?
Right, exactly. For people in the United States of America, we like options. Have you been to a fucking Walmart? We want to be able to pick what we want.
To a sweet tomatoes buffet.
I would go to one immediately right now.
Yes.
Well, and also, I'm joking about that, but I also, don't love daytime activities. I love nighttime activities. So I'm also selfishly, as much as I want to do this for Australia and the Southern Hemisphere, which hemisphere are they on?
No,
the other one? Eastern? Southern? Southeastern Hemisphere. That's where they live. I also just want to not only have a daytime party because I don't like the daytime as much.
Totally.
You know?
Yep.
I mean, for party reasons. I like
know.
It.
I totally understand.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
I like the option, the giving people options.
Yeah. I also really, really, really want to meet our listeners in the Southeastern Hemisphere.
I do too. We'll bring our fosters.
Oh my God. Fosters mandatory. If you show up to our daytime.
I know. It'll be like 6 a.m. our time. And we'll be drinking fosters.
Pounding fosters. I will bong a Foster's. You know what I've never done? Bong a beer. What I will be doing at our tarot party, bonging beers.
I'm holding it to it, Court.
I'm going to have to get the equipment. I'm going to have to get a person. I'm assuming my wife will have to do it. Ugh.
Oh, to bong. I was like, what is she going to have to do? She's going to have to bong a beer? No, she'll have to hold it for you.
Yeah, I can't do it. I don't have long enough arms. Yes. I guess I could do a short bong. Anyway, I'll work out the logistics in the meantime. But
what else?
Who is definitely going to the party? Who do we get to shouty-outy this week? Who's going to be at the party?
Okay.
I mean, definitely invited to the party.
I thought we were just going to start talking about random patrons. We're going to be at our party.
I hope. You know John is there.
Definitely going to be there.
Who?
Thank you so much to Candy H.
Candy.
Yep, she's from a town in Indiana, not too far from me.
What? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. And Candy, I don't want to just do a funny one for you today. I'm just going to tell you that I've been encouraging my sister to hang out with you.
Yes.
We can tell you're our kind of person, and I think you live close. So.
That's right. And we want to sponsor your LGBTQ group that you have at your high school.
Big time.
We really do. Yeah. So email. We emailed you about it. If you want us to give you money,
mm-hmm.
we will do that.
Yep. And then also, you should hang out with my sister, because it's slim pickings down there for people.
It really
be your friend.
It really is. It's very sad.
Ooh, nothing against it. And the people who are down there listening that are our friends, they are Sadie's only friends.
Help me. Help me.
Help. She's very likable. She's very well behaved. She's got good manners at
most
the table.
Most of the time.
At the table. Yep.
Anyway, thank you so much, Candy. Thank you so much. Candy H.
Canda.
Canda H.
No, Canda. It ends with H.
Oh.
Canda. Canda. Oh, didn't fly.
Didn't
clearly.
Work. Okay. Nope.
Moving on.
Thank you so much to Melissa B.
Melissa Boyoing. When she enters a room, you know, yes. All of that. And, like, people have to hold down the table in their glasses, windows rattling. They've had to retrofit buildings that she frequents, like, for earthquakes, but it's just her walking into them.
Yes.
It's true. It's real. Get with it. Melissa B. Befriend her at your own risk. It's also what it stands for. Because shit's powerful. It's wonderful, but it is powerful. She's not controlling it either. She does not need to hold it in for you. She needs to let it out. So she does.
Oh, last but not least, dude, it's time for a sonnet. This is a $20 tier.
Oh, God. I'm out of practice. I will do my best for this one, darling.
Thank you so much to Michelle M.
Michelle, my is on the fly. She flies to there. She flies all night. She flies, she flies, she flies, and does a not dies. She lives, she thrives. She flies and thrives. And then when she sees something she loves, she flies down to it. And what does she do with it? She picks it up. And what does she pick up, you ask? It's a book. And in the book says one word, and that is...
Are you there?
I'm waiting for you to finish it.
And
that is?
Shook.
Yes! That's what I was thinking. Because you know what that means.
I know.
So does she.
Sorry, I thought you were just like making the people wait.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Ooh, I can't wait to meet you at the party. I can't wait.
I know.
And in the meantime,
wait.
What?
Real quick.
Tell me.
Real quick. Okay. My 7-year-old just got a second COVID shot. You guys, are you hesitant? You're not sure about getting your kids their vaccine? You saw some funny videos on TikTok. Maybe. I'm just letting you know. He's had 2 shots. Not a single side effect. Not anything. No sore arm. No myocarditis.
Nothing.
No fever. Nothing but some antibodies in his body protecting him from COVID. Hallelujah.
Yep.
So anyway, I know a lot of parents. I read an article today, like 23% of parents are excited to get their kids their COVID shots, and that just doesn't feel like enough parents to be excited. We all know it's not so bad for kids, but who the fuck knows? Get your vaccine.
Yeah, more variants are coming for you.
I know.
For a Christmas present. Everyone gets, what's it called? Omicron.
I know.
In your stockings.
God,
yay,
I just, I swear
to God. You get Omicron.
He got his vaccine on Saturday. And I swear it was that same day where it was like, oh, hey, guess what? Ha 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 ha.
Omicron.
Here comes Omicron. So that vaccine for your child probably doesn't mean anything. That's not really true at all.
No, that's not true at all. No.
But
no.
That's how it felt in that moment. And I was like, no, please give me one break. Give me one single break.
You're going to get it. We're all going to get it. But only if like we get this shit together, and we will. And just please, please. This is the sign. To get your vaccines. We love you, and we want you here.
Yes.
And in the meantime, more importantly,
Much more importantly,
we would love for you to come to our social media at Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter at They Will Kill. You can go to our website, theywillkill.com, and you can email us at theywillkillpodcast@gmail.com. We love it when you do it.
Yes. We love it. Rate, review, subscribe, please.
We also love that.
Yeah, we need more of them. Come on, you guys. Do us a favor. It gets our name out there in the Apple world. So go over there. Say that you like us or that you don't. It's totally your choice.
I would prefer you like us.
Yeah, give us 5 stars and then tell us you don't like us. That is fine.
There you go. Yeah, I love that. I love when people accidentally give a 1-star review and they're like, this is the best restaurant I've ever been to. Like,
they clearly don't know how it works.
Yeah, you cursored over that, clicked the 5, and then the cursor dragged down to the 1 and you didn't realize it.
Yeah, that actually happened to me once.
Oh, it happens to me on Apple. Constantly, every day of my life. No, it has happened to me too. Yes.
Where I've had to be like, oh shit, no.
No, come back. Yep.
Hey, AJ Bergantz, thank you for your music.
Thank you so much.
And remember,
I just was watching social media, and I want my resolution for people who are not me in 2022 is to stop saying, like, about their corporate things that they're doing, the corporate jobs. They're like, I loved seeing our billboards in, you know, Virginia. You know what I mean? And you're like, no, you didn't. Like, when you're like, oh, my team, I loved seeing our billboards up today in the world. I loved seeing the pop-up shop that our team put together. And it's just like, no, you didn't. You don't love that. Like, casually, like, oh, I loved seeing this corporate thing that we intentionally put there. And I'm sick of it.
I guess you and I hang out in different social media worlds because see that.
So much. This is for my fucking PR and marketing and like advertising friends, which is a lot of my friends. Like, loved working with this crew on this boring ass video.
No, you didn't. Oh, so people that kind you of know. Stuff. Oh, yes. Okay.
Just in general. I mean, there's like lots of people I barely know. You know, like I worked with them at various things in video or whatever.
I was picturing like you watching TikToks.
No,
people were coming up there and they're like, I was like, where are what? This
that's is something it's that, Instagram and Facebook, specifically yes. Instagram, you know.
Yes.
Loved seeing our spread in this week's blah blah blah. Totally. No, you didn't. Stop. Yes, nobody loves it.
It all just clicked to my brain. I'm on board now. I understand what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yes. It's called self promotion, but it's boring.
Yes. Yep.
I'm just, yeah.
Like, yeah. All good of the, job. The people I went to high school with that became realtors. Courtney. I'm kidding. I see a lot of that, like, self-promotion. Yeah. Yep.
Loved showing this 2-bedroom, 3-bath today. Love this detail on the balcony. Stop it. Nothing matters. Everything matters.
Could be both at the same time.
Yeah, we love you guys so much.
Yes, we do.
Do whatever you want. Just keep saying, do whatever you want. But
yeah, what did I say before? Don't help people and see what happens.
Do your best and also don't help people. And also self-promote because you deserve it, but also don't
just
do that.
Leave it anymore. Off Courtney's feed.
I do it too, 100%. Loved working on this video with Rambo over the weekend. And I'm like, I didn't. I mean, I did. There were things I liked about it, but I'm not saying anything interesting. You know what I mean?
It wasn't like life altering.
I think it's just the generic way we present. That's what it is. It's not that I'm not proud of people for loving what they do. It's just, it's not, you know, like we should be more like, you know, 98% of this was so stressful I wanted to vomit every day, but I really enjoy that I got to eat some good food in Oakland and like hang out with my bros for 5 days. And I think the video turned out okay. What do you guys think? You know, that's totally what I like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Authentic. So, be authentic.
Right. Loved seeing my billboards. No, you didn't. You know, like boom, 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 boom. My billboards are so good. Anyway, we love you guys.
Yes, we
do. We'll see you. Goodbye. Goodbye.